If you have your Bible, turn with us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when ye shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if God be my help, on how close are we to the second coming. How close are we to the second coming? You know what second coming is? That's when Jesus steps out of the cloud with a shout and a trump, Brother Garland, and he says, "Come up hither." And all those that are saved, all those that know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, will be called up. The Bible says, called up, raptured, harpazo, to be snatched up, to ever be in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you tonight, but that's exciting. Amen. I've been on an airplane a couple of times, and I don't know if it's the safest thing in the world. The Bible says, "Lo, I'm with you always." But praise God, you get way up there in the air, and boy, it's a magnificent thing to just be cruising through the clouds and look down below you and see clouds and just see the most beautiful blue sky there ever was. And what a magnificent... But can you imagine that glorious day, Brother Bill, when he says, "Come up hither," and we lose gravitation, praise God. The Bible said, "Dead Christ will rise first, and those alive and remain will be caught up with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What a blessed hope we have this evening. We got a hope, praise God, that's out of this world. I mean, way out of this world. Amen. Lord be God, I'm looking forward to that tonight. I'm excited about that, and that I can see this. He said, "Hey, listen, you need to not worry about the times and the seasons." He said, "Those things kind of take care of themselves." And you know, as I was a youngin', Granddaddy told me one time, my Grandpa Young, he said, "You know, as you get older, the days get faster." And boy, I thought, well, you know, 24 hours is 24 hours. But the older I get, the faster they go. Amen. I mean, it's just like we're almost the end of February. Amen. I mean, times are clicking by. It's going quickly. Amen. Now, you youngins probably think, "Well, I can't wait to get 16 to get my license. Well, if I could just get 16 to get my license." Praise God, hope you never get them, because you get 16, you look up and you're 50. Yeah, amen. Amen. Time flies once you get a certain age. I don't know what it is, but it just does. But the Bible's talking here, and Paul's telling the Thessalonians, he said, "Hey, now listen, they were some worried and fret about some things that was taking place." But he said, "God will not forsake you. He'll not leave you, but he'll come to get you, praise God, when it's time." Ain't you glad tonight, praise God, that God's got a time schedule, and he's put us on his schedule. Amen. Amen. He's put me on his schedule. He's got you on his schedule. He knows exactly when our time is up. Now, some of us may go by the grave, and some of us may go in there. Amen. Hey, I'd like to see every one of us go out one Sunday, praise God, or maybe one Wednesday, maybe tonight, praise God, just praising the Lord, looking for Jesus, glorifying his name, and just have just a shout and a trump says, "Come up hither," and we lose gravitation, praise God, and go out of here. Amen. Hey, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Because, hey, listen, hey, this is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim, a passing through. Amen. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Praise God. And it's not here. Amen. Amen. It's not here. It's somewhere else. But as Paul begins to write to, I just want to give you some things. We're getting close. Amen. This thing's a playing out right for us. We're getting close to going out of here. And we need to be looking up, lifting up our eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh. The time of our redeeming, praise God. Hey, listen, we've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. And one glorious day in a little while, praise God, God's going to say, it's time. I don't know about you, but I think he's anxious. I think the Lord's anxious. The Lord's anxious. He said, "I want to be with me where I'm at." Amen. I want my little children. I want to have them with me where I'm at. What a blessed hope, praise God, that we have in Christ Jesus the Lord. But he said, we don't know the times and seasons. And said, we don't know when the day of the Lord will take place. But we know that the Bible says he comes as a thief at night. We can't predict the day or the hour. Nobody know that. He said only God himself. Hey, not even angels in heaven know what the day and the hour is. Only God himself. And praise God, he's not telling. Amen? But one of these days, praise God, in just a little while, it'll all transpire. But Paul says, why are you watching and awaiting? He said, praise God, he said, there's some signs that you can look for. As a child of God, he says, hey, you need not to be ignorant, brethren. Now, I know we're living a day of ignorant, brethren, because nobody wants to know. That's why there's no concern for the church. There's no concern for the reading of the Word of God, because we don't want to know what God says. But what I tell you, I don't know about you, but I want to know what God says. Amen. Praise God. This is a blessed roadmap to my heart. Amen. It leads me and guides me wherever I need to go. And God's right there with me to show me and admonish me and give me the directions that I need for me. Amen. Now, you may be able to wing it by yourself and do okay. But for me, I need the Lord. I need someone to help me every day of my life, because I'm apt to mess up. Amen. I'm apt to go by the wayside. I'm apt to get sidetracked. But I thank God today that I've got the blessed Word of God, that He'll never lead me astray. Amen. He always tell me, He'll always tell you that, that'll help your soul. That'll encourage you. That'll uplift you. That'll lead you in the right direction. You know, God will never tell you anything that's wrong. He'll never tell you anything that's wrong. Everything God tells you, every direction He points you, praise God, to be the right direction. He's not going to point you in a direction that hurts you. Amen. Now I want you to think about this, especially you young people. When you get out in this world and you begin to think, I'm going to get in the message in a minute. This is just an introduction. But when you youngins get out in this world and you start to do something and you think, well, you know, maybe it'd be a blessing to do that. And if it don't line up with the Word of God, you better run just the other way, hard as you can go, because it's of the devil. Amen. If it's going to hurt you, it's going to harm you, or if it's going to hurt somebody else, praise God, we need to leave it alone. Amen. Amen. We need to seek a different direction. That's the God's way. Because the devil's out to seek and destroy who he can. I mean, that's all he does, is tears up and tears down. And we need Jesus. He's the one that'll build us up and encourage us. But Paul begins to tell him here about this day. And he said, we're children of the light. And said, because since we're children of light and children of the day, and said, we're not of the night or of the darkness. He said, if you're living in the day, in the daylight, and you're a child of the light, he said, praise God. He said, you can see what's happening. You can't see in the dark. I used to be scared of the dark. Amen. When I was lost, I was scared of the dark. I had one of them little old night lights. I didn't want to cut it. Hey, if that thing went out, buddy, I was hunting me a bulb. Because I was scared of the dark. You know what? I ain't scared of the dark no more. Hey, people say, hey, well, you preacher, you know what you do? You need to get you one of them street lights put up around your house so that you can see. I said, no, I don't. If ain't somebody going to spook around my house, they going to do it in the dark, buddy. I ain't giving them a light to do it by. Amen? Hey, I ain't scared of the dark. Amen? If they are, maybe they'll leave my place alone. Praise the Lord. But as we get to see this, praise God, God begins to tell us that we're children of the light. He said, praise God, that we're living in light and not dark. And said, we can see some things transpiring around us that points us to the soon coming of a Messiah. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes to get His church, His bride, praise God, He said, in just a little while. Now, we've already seen some things come to pass in just in our lifetime. We've seen so many things transpire. We've seen Israel become a nation, 1948. Amen. Reestablished. Never to be taken out again. Amen. That's God's word. And Israel's become a nation. Israel's beginning to gather back. These Jews piling into Israel to about a thousand. I think it was like 3,000 a day is going back to Israel. Praise God. And they're building houses as fast as they can build them. And they ask them, why are you coming back? And they said, don't know. Just compel to come home. Amen. I mean, Jews, it's just of the dispersal that's been dispersed all over the world. All of a sudden, the desire, a strong urge to get back to Jerusalem. The nation of Israel. They're piling in there just as fast as they can go. And then we're seeing that bear to the north, Russia. Now, see, everybody's got this mindset that Russia's fallen. Russia's just crumbled to pieces. And you know, it's just not the superpower it used to be. Hogwash. What Russia's done is she broke herself up into different categories, broke herself up into a bunch of little countries, and now she has more say-so in the UN than just about any other country. So the buyer to the North, Russia, she's arising up. Praise God. Hey, just a little while ago, they had big parades. They showed it where they was marching through the streets, and they was showing what they had, the weaponry and the men and the army, the mighty army that they've got built up. Amen. So we see Israel coming back as a nation. We see Russia becoming she never did seek to be a superpower. Praise God, she just pretended like she wasn't.
Amen.
But that mighty buyer to the north, praise God, she's still strengthening herself. She's still gaining speed and power. Amen. She's getting ready for a big stand. Amen. So we see these things. See, the Bible plainly tells us about these things, and we can see them coming to pass. Now, these are things that we've already seen. We're seeing the Roman Empire begin to build. Amen. Beginning to build back up. The Roman European nations coming together in the Roman Empire as the United Nations. Amen. A big super authority of the world. Amen. One of these days, in a little while, they're going to have a leader to step out and rule the whole world.
Amen.
But hey, listen, young few. Hey, we just about to the point of going out of here. We need to be lifting up, looking up. Praise God, because Jesus is coming, and praise God, we're going. Amen. It ain't going to be as long as it has been. Amen. I believe I'm going to see it in my lifetime. The Lord's going to come take me out of here if I don't go by the grave. If cancer or something else don't take me out before the Lord comes, praise God, Brother Bill, I believe I'm going to leave to see it. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Bill. He's a little over 70 now. I believe he'll see it. I believe we're that close. Amen. I believe we're that close to seeing the Lord come back, because we begin to see the signs fulfilled. Let me just give you a couple tonight. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 3, the last part of that verse, the apostles asked Jesus this question. They said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Amen. That's what he tells us over in Matthew chapter 24. They asked him these questions. And Jesus, he begins to expound upon those questions. He began to tell them he said, take heed that you be not deceived. He said, don't be deceived. He said, if somebody comes in my name, he said, don't go running. He said, just be ready. He said, when I come, he said, bless God, you'll know it. I want to say, when Jesus comes, praise God, we'll know it. A child of God will know when Jesus comes. Why do you know? Because the Bible said, Spirit will bear witness. Amen. That way we won't be deceived. Praise the Lord. He said there's going to be a lot of things take place. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He said nation rise against nation. All these things, famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All these things have got to come to pass. He said people will you'll be afflicted. Talking to nation Israel, he said they'll be afflicted. He said they'll rise and they'll want to kill you. He said many other things will rise up that'll offend. He said things. He said people will turn against people, one against another. Here's one and there's one turning against one another. He said all that's going to come to pass. But no, he said false prophets will rise up and deceive many. He said because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Have you ever seen a more cold-hearted world we're living in? Have you ever seen more cold? When women can go down to a place on the corner and just kill babies. 58 million babies since Roe versus Wade went into effect. 58 million little people. Amen. I won't say it's not a fetus. It's not an embryo. Bro, praise God, it's a human being. And we're killing them left and right like it don't amount to anything. We got mamas, praise God, that's just throwing little old babies away, throwing their young ones away, saying, I don't want them no more. It's cold hearted. Said we're waxing cold. We're waxing indifferent. Amen. And God says what we need is a touch of God in our life, a draw close to Him. Pray God so He can help us draw close to those that we love.
Amen.
We can't love till we love Him. We ever get the love of God in our heart, He'll help us to love one another. Amen. Things will be different. But notice what He says. Verse 13 says, "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Amen. But I want you to notice what he says in verse 14. This is a very important verse. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." He said, this gospel, he said, praise God, he said, it's got to be preached unto all the nations. Now, I want you to think about this. I thought of that in the study the other night. I was sitting out there and I thought, just in my lifetime, how things have changed, how things have transpired. I mean, they said, this thing's come full circle. I mean, the gospel's being preached. It's been, now the gospel, when I was a little boy, it started going out on the radio and reaching out and touching thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of different places. And then the internet come along, amen, it began to reach out to computer, the day of the computer, and we began to reach out to more and more, and we began to touch, just all over the world, the gospel's been preached, amen. There's no hindrance to it no more. The Word of God, praise God, listen, WGCR, Pisgah Forest, WHBK, they're preaching the gospel. We got a radio broadcast at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. WKJV preached the gospel on the radio and on the internet 24/7 all around the world. I want to tell you, youngins, the Bible's being fulfilled right before our eyes tonight. I pray God we're seeing the gospel preached. He said, hey, when's it going to happen? When's the end coming? He said, when the Word of God gets all around the world. I want to tell you, youngins, there's nothing hindered tonight. The Word of God's everywhere. Anywhere anybody wants to listen, it's there tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I was reading the thing the other day. Said, I think it was over 10,000 people can be reached in a 30-minute broadcast. Over 10,000 people can be reached for less than $10 now. $10 can reach out across the world and tell, and this was several years ago. It's probably more than that now. Amen. Because this was before the Facebook and all that stuff where the gospel could go out. It could be used for a good thing. Amen. It could be used for a witness, Lord Jesus Christ, instead of for the gossip column. Amen. Amen. If we used it for a good thing, praise God, we could reach out and help somebody. But if we use it for a gossip column, we use somewhere to cut somebody down and put somebody down instead of lift somebody up. Something we love them and we're praying for them. We're trying to encourage them in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel's going out all over the world. Do you realize that? He said, hey, what did Jesus say? He said, when the gospel is preached, to preach to every nation. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. And what then? Then shall the end come. Amen. Tell me tonight, how close are we? We right there knocking on the door. We getting ready to go home. Pray God just a little while. I mean, when we can reach out and we see, we know Jesus is coming. The second coming of the Lord, praise God, it's nigh even at the door. We need to be listening and hearkening to the Lord because it's coming right now, in the day and the hour that we live in, praise God, you can reach out to the whole world with the gospel. Amen. Now, I know that the gospel is going to be completely saturating the earth during the tribulation period. 144,000, those sealed Jews will be preaching the gospel, and it's going to be reached out. But praise God, I tell you, we just about right there now. I mean, we've got everything set up. We've got everything in place for it to reach out and touch it and see before the time of the end, the time of when the Jew is took into that awful time of Jacob's trouble, that time of tribulation, the church is gone.
Right.
Amen. Amen, the church is gone. That old Antichrist, the deceiver, he's going to come on the scene with his great swelling words. And he's going to deceive many. Amen, they're going to be blinded by the sly talk of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to come on the scene and say all this and all that. And he's going to explain away all the righteous that's going on out on the glory. He's going to explain all those buses that crashed and all those planes that crashed and all the cars that crashed because the one that was driving it was a child of God and all of a sudden they just evacuated.
Yeah.
Amen. They just went on out of here to be with the Lord. Can you imagine the chaos that's going to take place there for a little while? Amen. When all the saints of God go out of here. I wonder today if you're driving down the road, I mean running down the interstate at 70 miles an hour. I mean, 70 mile an hour barreling it side by side, cars all around you, and the Lord calling the trumpet and a shout. I wonder what happened to your car. What would happen to your car? Would you just keep on driving it down the road, or would it be an unmanned vehicle? It'd be an unmanned missile. Amen. 70 mile an hour going somewhere to destruction. Amen. That's what mine would be. A lot of people say, well, you know, God's my co-pilot. I tell you what, you better let him drive. Amen. We don't need no co-pilot. We need God to drive. We need God to take the driver's seat in our life and begin to show us the right way to live. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, when he see these things begin to come past, he said, when you see the preaching of the gospel all over the world, he said, then you shall know that the end is nigh. Amen. See, the time and Jesus comes. The next sign we see in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Book of Daniel, chapter 12, the Bible talks about a time when the world, that we're in right now. I mean, we can see this time just as plain as the nose on your face. Amen. I'm talking about getting ready to go out of here, younguns. We need to be ready. We need to be considering the calling up of the Lord. Because in a little while, we're going. Amen. If you ain't ready, you'll be staying and you'll be deceived by the Antichrist and you'll die and go to hell. Amen. A great deception. Come on. You say, well, preacher, when I see the church go out, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to live, right? No, you won't. And if you won't do it now when the Holy Ghost of God's at trial, you won't do it then when he's gone. Amen. He that letteth will let will be taken away. That means the Holy Ghost of God, because he's in God's people, will be out of here. And then the old devil, the deceiver, is going to come in. He's going to deceive the world. Amen. With a major deception. And folks is going to believe it. But in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end, the time of the end. Now listen to what he says. He said, many shall run to and fro, and the knowledge shall be increased. Now I want you to look at this. I mean, we're living in this right now. We can look at this now, and we can say this. When was Daniel talking about? He was talking about right now, today. We're living a time when people's running to and fro. We're going here and we're going there. Praise God, just all the time. We've always got someone to go, somewhere to go. Amen. I can remember a time, Brother Jeff, when on Saturday we'd go down to my granddaddy's and all the brothers and sisters, all his sons and daughters would come together, the brothers and sisters, and they'd get together on Saturday and they'd sit around the yard all day long. And the youngins, all the youngins would get together and we'd play and run and aggravate one another to death. Amen. And we'd do that on Saturdays. And then come Sunday, praise God, we'd get up and we'd go down to the house of God and we'd worship the Lord. We'd come home, we'd eat dinner, and then we'd get back and we'd go back to the house of the Lord and worship the Lord again. Amen. We don't have time for that no more. We're living in a world where we're running to and fro. Amen. I can remember time, praise God. Oh, listen, when they used to, I can't remember it personally, but there used to be a time when everybody got around on horseback. Amen. And they'd gather up, praise God, and they'd go down to the house of God, and they'd worship on Sunday, and the rest of the time they hung around the house. They got some work done. They had time to read their Bible. Had time to talk to their youngins. Had time to say hello to their wife. I won't tell you, there was a time when we wasn't running to and fro. Amen. We don't have time for nothing. We've got microwave ovens, super nuke meals, instant clothes washers, instant clothes dryers. Amen. We've got clothes that you don't even have to press. Amen. You don't have to run an iron over them. Praise God. You just shake and bake. Praise God. And you're ready to go for dinner. I'm telling you, we're living in a fast society. And what happened to us? We're running to and fro. Praise God. Trying to get done what? What are we accomplishing? We're running ourselves to death. Amen. We're so busy, we don't have time. We don't have time for God. Well, Lord, I'll try to pencil you in for 30 minutes on Sunday morning, and for an hour on Sunday morning, and 30 minutes on Wednesday night. Well, Lord, if that preacher gets long wind, if they sing a whole lot, I'm going to have to cut it short and slip out. Amen? Because I've got so much to do. Lord, you know my schedule. Yeah, he knows your schedule. He wants to change it for you if you let him. Amen. It's about time that we got off of our schedule and got on God's schedule. As I'm telling you, just a little while, he's going to go shout the trump. And if we're looking for him, we're going to go out of here. But I believe there's a lot of folks that could care less, and they're going to be left behind. Amen. We're living in time of fast movement, run to and fro. We ditched the horses. Now I can remember when I was a kid. Now I'm just pushing on 50 years old. But I can remember a time when I was a kid, we plowed with a horse cultivator. Amen. We plowed with a horse and cultivator and we hoed with a hoe. Amen. We followed that horse all day long. Granddad followed that horse, but we followed it through the field with hoes. Amen. We hoed while he plowed. And when he got done plowing, he'd come back help us and we hoed some more. And then the next day we went back and we hoed some more. Amen. And then we got these tractors. And boy, that really made things simpler. Boy, you could run through there in a jiffy. But you still had to hoe. Amen. Still had to do the hoeing. I mean, I'm talking about we got so busy. But now we got these fancy-dancy things, praise God, and we got these automobiles that get us from point A to point B in just a few minutes. Amen. And we got these jet airplanes, praise God. If you decide to go on vacation, and man, you can get up in the morning, be at Asheville Airport at 5 o'clock, and praise God, tomorrow afternoon, you can be in Dallas, Texas. Am I not telling it right? Daniel said, hey, he said, you mark her down. He said, you seal it up. But he said, at the end time, when it comes in, said, you're going to be running to and fro. Said, you're going to be busy folk. Amen. In a hurry to do nothing. Amen. In a hurry. All we're doing is just killing ourselves. In a hurry to get to do what? To get a little bit more done. Why it's so important that we can't take time out for God. But see, we got that, and then we got the, you know, we got the airplanes, we got fast boats. You know, you can go on vacation now, and if they don't bog out in the ocean somewhere, you can get on a big old boat and go plumb halfway around the world in a week. Come back, feet be all fat and sassy, fed up, and all excited, and have a golden tan besides. Amen. If you're lucky, if it don't catch on fire and burn out, you on your own. But we're living in a world that's fast-paced. And we're all about the fast pace. Why? Why can't we be more about God? Why can't we be more about the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and that help that He has to give us? Why are we so excited about trying to get more done? Why to push a little more? Now, I'm not saying to be lazy and no account. I ain't saying just quit your job, set the house, give up. I'm saying, why can't we take time for God? Why are we so busy in our life that we can't take a few minutes every day? You know what would happen? You know what would happen if we take a few minutes for God? Our kids would turn out a little bit better. Amen? Our family life would be a whole lot better. Mamas and daddies, pray God, wouldn't bust up because they didn't know each other no more. Amen? God would bless your heart. God would encourage you. You wouldn't be so discouraged all the time. Amen. If you'd pick up, maybe we could pick up that word of God and look in it just a little bit, take us a little peek in glory every day, praise God, we wouldn't be so discouraged. Amen. But the Lord's fixing to come. He's fixing to be a shout of trump. We're going out of here, and we're just sitting around worrying about what we can do next. How much I can get done before dark. Now, my mother fusses at me all the time about this. She come over to the house, and I try to run before dark and get everything done I can. And she used to be real bad. She's got that arthritis bad. Now she's crippled up, can't hardly do a whole lot. But used to, she'd pass me about three times. And she'd say, why don't you go sit down and rest a little bit? You worked all day. And she'd say it as she's on the move, going to do one more thing. Amen. I got it honest. Amen. But what I'm saying tonight, if we get so bitter, but Daniel said, we're going to be running to and fro, trying to do what heaven only knows what, because we ain't accomplishing no more than we did. You know what I've decided? I work full time at a pastor church. I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to focus on one thing. Amen. I'm going to start with one thing. I'm going to say, I need to do one thing. And I'm just going to focus and I'm going to do that one thing. Because you know what I do? I run in, I try to do this and this and this and this, and I don't ever get nothing done. And I got to thinking on the scripture, you know, that's me. I'm running to and fro trying to get a whole bunch of stuff done, and I don't really ever accomplish nothing. We need to stop and pull back and say, let's just do one thing at a time with the help of the Lord and give Him praise and glory all the way. Amen. Amen. Let Him encourage us in what we do and do all things, Bible said, as unto Him. Amen. Slow down a little. Take a little time to smell the roses. Enjoy the bread baking. Amen. Just little things. Amen. Make a difference. Praise the Lord. So he said, they're going to be running around. They're going to be running to and fro, trying to get a whole lot done. And he said, knowledge shall be increased. Now, like I said, I'm 49 years old. When I was a little boy, I didn't even know what a computer was. Amen. Nobody did, I don't reckon. Nobody had even heard of a computer. I mean, I guess they had some of these big monstrosity things that the U.S. government had, and it was in a room bigger than this that would do about a tenth of what ours do now, and it was something about this big. But we didn't have no computers. Amen? We didn't have no cell phones. For some reason, we didn't have to stay in constant contact with everybody. You know, now everybody knows what everybody else is doing all the time. They can just about tell you when somebody had to take a potty break. So she put me on hold for 3.5 minutes. I know what she was doing. But we're living in a world, knowledge has increased. I mean, it's astronomical where knowledge has come to in the day and hour we live. We're living in a place, and it started back in the 19th century with the Industrial Revolution. You remember that? The Industrial Revolution. All of a sudden, men went from taking those old horses, plowing the field, and getting things done by the sweat of your brow. Some old fellow like Brother Garland sat down, and he said, "You know what? There's an easier way to do this." Amen? So instead of beating my fingers to pieces, he said, "I'm going to figure out some kind of contraption that'll do that for me." And during the Industrial Revolution, God began to allow us. He said, knowledge will be expanded in the last days. In the last 50 years, look where we've come from in the last 50 years. When I was a little boy, we had just got power in the house long. We didn't have no inside plumbing. We had an old outhouse. I take it back, we did have water at the sink. But we had an outhouse where we done our business. Huh? We had an old wood cook stove. The wood, I know that because the wood pile was over across the road. And it was expected when you got off the bus, when you come across that road, if you didn't have an arm full of books, you better have an arm full of wood. Amen? Amen. And you had to go carry it up the bank and carry it into to the house so Mama could fix supper when she got in. Now, I'm talking about come a long way. Mama had an old wringer washer on the back porch. Now, a lot of you youngins here tonight, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you older folks, praise God, you know what I'm talking about. You know what we need to be looking, because God Almighty's coming. And we're going. But he said knowledge will be increased. Them old wringer washers had that thing out there on the back porch. And they tote water and put in it. Remember that? Poured in there with buckets. It had that old lye soap to it. And it'd plug that thing into the wall and that thing would take off. And it might stay on the porch and it might not. If you got it loaded to one side too heavy, that thing would take off across the house, and Mama would go hollering for the youngins. She'd say, "Youngins, get over here." So we got it. Yeah. Till she'd get that thing unplugged and get that load balanced. I'm just telling you now where we've come from. We've come a long ways in this last day. Knowledge has increased. I mean, it's astronomical, the knowledge you have today since the Industrial Age. It's where God's brought us from. Amen. Where he's got to sit. I mean, everything's automatic to now. I mean, you just throw it in there. Everything's automatic balancing, automatic this, automatic that. Just throw it in there and hit a button. Amen. And then you go sit down and read your Bible 2 or 3 hours, right? Hello? Huh? Hello? You go throw it in the super nuker, 25 minutes, so count down. Go get that Bible. Instead of 25 minutes, read the Bible, right? Huh? Oh, me. Everything's automated. Why don't we have more time for God? Why don't we pick up the phone and say, "Hey, listen, I love you. I'm just calling to check on you. I said, I just want to tell you God loves you. I want to tell you not to be discouraged." Amen? But we don't have time because we throw that in a super nuclear and then we got to run over here to something else. Got to keep going. Got to keep busy. Amen? And then if we got any time at all, we turn on that one-eyed monster. Huh? Because we don't want to have to think about what we got left to do, so we just turn it on, sit down, and let it do the thunking for us. Huh? Amen? Oh, me. Oh, me. We just, and all time that we could be a praying for somebody, all time we could be reading our Bible, all time we could be studying. We need help. We're living in a super, an age of knowledge like we've never had before. He said, "Hey, these things will be." Amen? We know it's going to take place. He said that not only do we see knowledge increasing, but we'd see because of the Industrial Revolution, but we see literacy. Literacy is used to if you had an eighth grade education, if you was a boy and you had an eighth grade education, man, you was good to go. Man, you go work anywhere, you can do anything you need to do. If you get out and get you an 8th grade education, son, you was good. And then they started pushing. Literacy's up, man. We got probably 80% of our kids now has got a high school education. And they're pushing them now to go to college, to get them a college degree. But you know what? They said now that's harm in America. We're pushing so many of our children to get a college education. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a college education, but they said we got so many getting a college education and staying in school that we're losing our laborers, those that could do welding and fabricate and rock masons. We're losing all of our trades. Nobody's going to take up a trade. Amen? We got to have those. But we're raising up a society. It's running to and fro, and they got so much knowledge that they think they're too good to do manual labor. Amen? Amen. Not just a fact. It's just truth. Amen. But just we're living in a society that people just become lazy. We got so much automated that we've become lazy. Amen. When we ought to be stepping out and saying, praise God for what we have, and let's utilize it to the best we can to serve Him in a better way. Amen. Me and you both, all of us. We're going to be held accountable. In a little while, we're going to be held accountable for what we do. So we see literacy is crazy. And we see the medical field. Knowledge in the medical field. I mean, it's astronomical. Since I was a little boy till now, how the medical field has advanced. We've made tremendous strides in the medical. I mean, we've got machines now that you used to see on George Jetson. Amen? George Jetson used to have these kind of stuff. And you say, man, it was just a cartoon. Now, bless God, it's real. They can take you, stick you in this thing, run you through there, and it sees everything in you. Amen. Takes a picture. Tells them, amen, it sees everything about you. It's just what Daniel was talking about in the last days. He said they'd ever be learning, never come to knowledge of the truth. Amen. That's what Paul said. It'd ever be learning, never coming to knowledge of the truth. The truth is Lord Jesus Christ. We need Him above all this other stuff. But we can see, what I'm saying is we can see all these signs, all these things transpired right before us. The things that Jesus was telling about, the thing that Daniel was telling us about, praise God, it's here now. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying there's nothing has to happen. It's all falling in place right in our generation. We're seeing it transpire. Amen. We see the signs. Look over in Luke chapter 21. He says something else that we'll see. And this really struck me peculiar because of last week. In Luke 21 verse 25, he said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts fell in them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Amen. I got to thinking about that. Just this last week, we got to see that coming into effect. We got to see over in Russia a great meteorite come down from glory. Praise God, it landed right in Russia and just shook that place up good. And at the same time, if that wasn't enough from God to get us to looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh, He sent another one by 17,000 miles and just barely missed earth. Amen. It was big enough that if it would have hit earth, it would have knocked us out of orbit. Huh? I believe God's trying to wake us up. I'm telling us that, hey, listen, you need to be looking up because it's about time. Amen. I mean, there's some things that we see, some signs that we can see right now telling us, hey, listen, young, it's going to be all right. Just keep a smile on your face, glory in your heart, and keep marching on. Because we're almost home. Amen. We're almost there. Ain't nowhere to quit now. Ain't nowhere to get off, praise God, because we're about to finish line. We might as well just finish on for the glory of God. In closing, I just give you this. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Bible says, He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what I say tonight. He said, hey, these things have come to pass. He said, I'm coming quickly. Hey, when he comes, praise God, there's not going to be no time to get in. We need to be in now. We need to slow down. We need to realize that this rat race is going to go on whether we run in it or not. We need to realize, praise God, that the knowledge is going to increase whether we want to get in and be part of it or not. Amen. I don't want to be part of it. I just do not have a computer. But I do it. I use it because I've got the pastor's corner and stuff like that, and I keep up with my missionaries. But if I have, but if I go to use it much, very much, I have to call in there on my intercom and I say, honey, I done it again. Could you come out here? What'd it do? I don't know. I guess I hit the wrong key. And she has to come out there and fix it. Amen. But I can pull back, but I don't need that. What I need, what you need tonight, what we need tonight, it's just a close walk with God. We need a close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, he said, he'll add unto you. Food and raiment, clothing, place to live, the necessities of life. He said he'd never see the righteous forsaken or his seed a begging bread. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I take that to my heart. I'm trusting in the Lord. We need to trust him more. What do you say? I said, I think we need to slow down. And we need to think about what's most important. The important things. Those little things in life that's important. Those things that we've let slide. Those things that we've neglected. We need to step back and pull back to them. What do we need to do? We just need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Take time. Take time to just magnify and glorify him for the God of glory that he is. Take time to recognize that he's soon coming and we're going. Take time to meditate on what it'd be like one of these days. And just go ahead and start praising him and thanking him for all that he's done and what he's going to do. I mean, I'm talking about taking some serious time as a child of God to think about where we're at and where we're going to be in a little while. Amen.